Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back,
and oh boy, we finally got something really fun to talk about.
A Lions victory over the Packers.
Woo-hoo.
Aaron Rodgers throwing 3 interceptions in a game for the first time in 5 years against what was one of the worst rated defenses in the NFL, but not this week. Aubrey Pleasant gets fired, and the Lions held the Packers to less than 10 points. Are they correlated? I don't know, but we can get into all of that. But before we do, we'll be talking about this Lions victory over the Packers, a 15-9, a wild game in a moment. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Good evening, Lion fans.
Connor.
Yo.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
All right, gentlemen. So the Lions, they win. We haven't talked about a win in a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Definitely not a pretty game by any means, but the Lions win 15-9 over the Green Bay Packers. And now there's articles everywhere talking about the demise of Aaron Rodgers. Is this the end of his career? Is this the end of his time in Green Bay? And the Lions are the spark of that conversation now. So, where do we want to start? Let's start with the defense, of course, because they put up a hell of an effort compared to everything we saw this entire season up to this point.
Yeah.
And I want to start with what I believe is the story of the game, the play of Kirby Joseph at safety. Man, I think without Kirby Joseph on the field, they do not win this game. That's how important I thought he was to this game for the Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we'd be down a player the whole game.
Hey,
well, we'd have a backup safety.
Go back to the draft, and remember he got that third-round pick as part of that trade, and we wound up getting Joseph because of that, right?
Which trade?
With the Vikings, I think. Remember they wanted the – they had to, wasn't that part of that? I thought Kirby Joseph was the result of that. I don't know. Never mind.
We'll have our producer look it up while we keep talking Kirby Joseph. So Kirby Joseph, one of the highest rated safeties since he's been playing in the NFL per PFF. But I mean, the results, you can see it on the field. You don't have to look at PFF to kind of verify that. The man is, he always was known for his instincts, like with the ball in the air. But I mean, his tackling has been incredible too. Like that was supposed to be like a work in progress when they drafted him, but he looks, I mean, great. Obviously 2 forced fumbles over the middle. People feared him and just the instincts to create. Well, the one interception, it was a tip in the air, but he caught it. I mean, you still got to catch it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then the second one, over the middle on the deep throw from Aaron Rodgers was a thing of beauty. Man, it's just fun to, if he can
gorgeous.
Stay healthy, he's in concussion protocol right now. I hope he can be there next week because he's a lot of fun. I want to watch him play every week. He's probably, are you more excited for Kirby Joseph or Aiden Hutchinson at this time?
Well, Kirby's the one stepping up the most right now. I mean, I think you're right, Z. I think if anything to point to the success of our defense changing, I think it's his increase in play quality. Like the kid is turning out to be a dominant center fielder who is both a buzzsaw hitting, like you said. Like, and he did flash that a bit in college. There's a couple of good shots of him in the highlights, but man, to come out so effectively, it makes all the difference. He's what Tracy Walker was supposed to be for this defense this year, and I think that's a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's why he's getting Kirby Joseph was a comp pick on the third round, probably from the Kenny Golladay, actually, free agent signing.
Good theory, though, UJ.
Yeah.
I like that story
getting
better.
A little shaky, you know, getting old.
The old man. Anyway. He's old.
But, I just want to say, yeah, Joseph was great, but, this comes right after the firing of Pleasant and that secondary as a whole was playing way more aggressively and just firing, man. They were.
Oh, yeah.
As a whole, they were. So
Okita's like a missile out there, like knocking two of our players down.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, Okuda's been great in the run game. He still has some work to do in the pass game. Lazard had his number on a few in this game.
So it was Pleasant not doing his grit, job though. And the aggression they're playing with all of a sudden 1 week later?
I don't know, but getting Jerry, the next guy I want to talk about is Jerry Jacobs, I think is a second huge piece to get back for this defense.
Yes.
Yeah,
he was terrific in this game as well. He's super physical. That's what they love about him. He's physical at the line. He's physical with the receivers. He actually, the announcer thought he got away with the pass interference on the one near the end of the game there down on the sideline. It was like a 10-yard pass.
Well, when they
those
got away with the
turnover.
Very
pro pack, though. I thought the announcers were pulling for the pack the whole time.
It did seem that way. Seem that way.
And that was a fumble at the end there. I swear it. Like in recovered inbounds. That was a terrible call by the ref. So
I didn't think he had it inbounds personally.
Oh, I thought he did. It looked pretty obvious to me.
Could have gone either way.
Oh, I thought it was very obvious that it wasn't inbounds, but
he had the ball.
I don't think
it
was that obvious, but it could have gone either way.
You got to have control of it. He didn't have control.
He did. It was controlled, Z.
I mean, pick it up at like the hash mark where they originally fumbled. The thing shot to the sideline because Elliott could pick up the ball like where it was at the hash originally.
You're right.
But
the most important
Okuda,
part
the
of that play was Okuda, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was gritty. I mean, he blew the coverage, but he didn't give up on the play and made an excellent recovery.
Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah. It was really close. Like, he almost had it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
And the defense, I think, largely also helped by the fact they actually stopped the run for the most part in this game. The most their leading rusher was Aaron Rodgers, and most of that came on a third and long, a classic third and long
another
rush
Hutch
by the quarterback. But A.J. Dillon held for 11 for 34 yards. Aaron Jones. This game was reminiscent from the Packers side, like the Lions against the Patriots, as everybody was going down for them. Throughout the game, they probably lost Rashawn Gary for the year. Aaron Jones left the game. There's a few others I can't even recall off the top of my head.
I think it was because Derek Barnes was in there.
Maybe.
They were two wounded teams facing each other.
Yeah, right.
Plenty of injuries themselves. So.
Right.
But
It was nice not seeing Devonta Adams out there for the Packers this year. They really miss him. I think Aaron Rodgers definitely misses him. But the D-line did a good enough job holding the run game down, forcing a lot of third and longs, uncomfortable situation. It was a bend-but-don't-break defense this week. The Lions still got heavily outgained in this game, but they stood up at the goal line when they needed to.
Yeah, well,
I think the words out the NFL now is going to, when they play the Lions, they'll try to get really short gains or do penalties on first and second down, and on third down, they want third and long. Because we cannot stop their run. It's just absolutely can't.
Well, I mentioned in the past podcast, like the Lions are worst on third and 10 plus in the NFL this year. That's still the case in this game.
They kept that up, too.
Since no one picked this up when I put it down earlier, Derek Barnes, that play at the goal line, stuff in the Diller all by himself, like, what a revelation of him coming out in this game. And he made a sack.
Yeah, used his head really effectively in this game.
Totally.
Hey, it's a pass defense,
hell of a game.
It'd be really cool if he worked out because people were saying he had a really good camp. And I know last year we were all kind of hyping him up. So it'd be cool to see him actually put it together and maybe he'd help us solve some of our linebacker needs.
It's like, who woke him
Could
up?
Could be huge.
Man. Like, all year we're like, you know, wonder what the hell is Barnes.
It was Aubrey Pleasant's fault. Clearly.
And TJ Hawkinson, clearly.
Yeah.
I guess.
The reason we're 2-6 is Aubrey Pleasant. We can all agree on that exclusively.
Hey, we're 1-0 without RB Pleasant and 1-0 without TJ Hockenson. So
that's right.
Oh,
two biggest problems young on the team. Tight end. Saying it for,
I was thinking during that game, we could have really used TJ on offense, actually.
We could have used TJ in that game.
What, our two touchdowns were to tight ends?
So. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
And Hock was lighting up with the Vikings. They were happy with that, too.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
9 receptions on 9 targets.
Yeah, he had that. Yeah, 70 yards.
And he had some good run blocking, apparently, from what I read. I didn't see the game.
My bad.
Big Z doesn't believe you.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't believe you.
But Ali McNeil, Isaiah Bugs, pretty good in the run game. Hopefully they can keep that up.
Didn't we decide Ali McNeil was your guy? You can't
say
nice things about him.
He's my guy.
Yeah, man. You're giving him praise now? What the hell?
I mean, when you don't give up a lot of yards, usually it's on the D tackles having a good game. So
we're just messing with you.
No,
you're using logic now. Stop that.
I mean, the rest of Deshaun Elliott, I thought played pretty well in this game too. You always know when he makes a play because it does a seatbelt thing. So it definitely sticks out. Hopefully, Malcolm Rodriguez isn't out. He bent his elbow. It was nasty to see his hyperextended elbow on that one play.
He came back though.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, you know, sometimes
when he
goes.
Snaps this week, though, he was a little more limited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have the totals in front of me, but I know his snaps were down.
Yeah, he had, I'm looking at it right now here somewhere. 19 snaps. That's it.
I do think the Lions defense, they still need to get off the field a little more often than they do. they still let up a lot of long drives.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of room for improvement.
CJ Moore made a nice play.
But it's almost like they're letting the long drives happen on purpose because they're having so much fun out there in that game.
I hope that's not
true. They keep playing, man.
And then they got to the goal line and they're like, nope, this is done.
Yep, that's it. Ends here.
And then for Hutch, you know, if you're listening, Hutch, you got to come up with another move besides a spin move. He just does a spin move like every two snaps in a row. Like, and the deep and the tackles are just picking it up so easily throughout the game. He's got to come up with something different.
But he got his first pick of his life.
He did. So I will give him credit for that. I'll give him credit for that. It was good.
Eventually, that's going to be the best spin move in the NFL. That's why he's doing it. Okay.
Repetition.
Yeah. Really bizarre play call for the Packers. Your injured left tackle, putting him on a route for a touchdown. Bizarre. It was a really underthrown ball. So the Lions got a little lucky there, I thought, but
very underthrown.
At least Hutch was there to, you know, catch the ball.
Yeah, that was a weird play.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's precious though, just seeing the reactions of Rodgers when like that long bomb that Kirby Joseph knocked down. You see Rodgers' reaction was just priceless. And then him on the sidelines screaming at people, and it's beautiful to watch. Beautiful.
It's always somebody else's fault with him.
Right.
Yeah, he's such a pansy.
Always somebody else's fault with who? After the...
with Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of put down the lines a bit after the game, too.
Good. We'll take it.
I mean, in Rodgers' defense, they had 6 drop passes. So.
No, but still.
Who cares?
That team thing, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's going to haunt them as they keep their descent now and watch us ascend to the top of the league. My prediction this week, I know the points were a little off. We didn't shut them out and score 52 points or whatever I said. But watch. They're going to keep going down while we go up, baby. They cured what ailed us this week. Our defense looked better than it has since Campbell's been here.
Why are you giving him credit for the drop passes?
I'm not giving credit.
Heck,
you say like, it's something he was out of his control, you know. He did. You're falling into that Rodgers trap of blaming everybody else.
Rodgers trap.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah. Come on.
I'm just stating the facts that there's 6 drop passes in this game.
Away.
Yeah, you're cherry picking your stats here just to support the Rodgers narrative.
Yeah. What are you, a fanboy, Rodgers? Is it because you're married to that Packers fan?
Hell no.
Oh.
Hell no.
Yeah. I remember
bleeding through.
Someone on this podcast.
Household.
Someone on this podcast was talking about what a great leader Rodgers is compared to Stafford, and these days he just looks so pathetic. Like, he just looks miserable. He doesn't want to be there. Like, he has no respect for anyone on this team.
And he calls out his teammates, which is ridiculous. You know,
he doesn't seem like a quarterback you want to play for.
Ugh.
You're right.
It looks like someone I want to punch in the face.
Yeah, his body language is brutal. Hey, I just want to say something too about this game, and I'm sure you guys probably noticed it too, but it was driving me nuts. There was at least three times where the clock went to at least three times,
including the one where the Packers call a timeout. It looked like he called it after the delay of game.
I was screaming at the television. I mean, what the hell, man?
This is typical. You see this every week in the NFL, but I don't know why it's so unclear. Like, why is zero not, like, if it's basketball, like if the shot clock hits zero, it's such a bizarre.
I agree with you, Jay, though. I don't think it's. I mean, you do see it in other games, but it seemed to be a lot in this game, particularly
at least
for the Packers. That worked.
Well,
the
with the Ravens game too, with the field goal game, where they won
simple,
it doesn't make any sense. The rule.
It's simple criteria that the refs have: are the Lions going to benefit from this call? If not, then you know, throw the flag.
I thought the Lions got some calls in this game their way, so it wasn't
bad. It got some talk by some of the press about what to do about it. And I say we go back to the idea, I think I had it earlier, where you put it on the sticks, the first down sticks. You put the little timer on there when the red light goes on. And that'll be on the camera, right?
That's a good point.
Easy to see. Real easy to see. When it turns red, boom, it's not snapped.
Just like the NBA.
Yeah.
On the score.
They should,
on the billboard.
They should do tenths of a second, like the shot clock, too. You know, like. So to be exact, you know, wait for that delay. It'll be
absolutely.
It could be a giant horn, like a, I don't know, something really aggressive.
But that would be so visible if it was on the yardsticks, you know. But right there, it's just
true.
So easy to see, or even on the time shot clock on the scoreboard.
It just it's a really goofy rule that they don't seem to care to address.
It's like traveling in basketball.
Yeah.
When the hits zero, the ball should inflate like an airbag. It just, you know.
I like it.
No, I like that. Awesome.
Well, let's shift our focus to the offensive side of the ball, where
this isn't as fun to talk about.
Like with ink dyeing it too, Bob, like bank robbery, you know, like blow up in the center.
A dye.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Everyone's hoping for a delay of game now.
Yeah. So, all right, offense. Detroit Lions offense. It was a rough showing in this game. They did enough to win, obviously, but it was it wasn't pleasant to watch for the most part, except for the road grading they did in the round game with Jamal Williams and Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson looked good. They should give him some.
He did look good.
And Swift looks good in his very minimal presence out there with their. They're really taking it easy with him. What do you have, 10 snaps?
Two carries for 10 yards and three receptions for 40 yards, including a key one in the red zone to set up.
Yeah, he looks good when he's in there, but he just doesn't – that they're really limiting his time.
I think they want to save him for the stretch. The playoff push.
The Lions are really missing Reynolds and Shark in their past game.
Yeah, they need some receiving.
Although, to that note, Jared Goff, he got away with some really bad passes in this game. He could easily have had two or three interceptions himself. The Packers just didn't come up with it. But some questionable decision making from Goff, and I mean that includes the one interception that he did throw. So,
yeah, I think he's starting to lose it. I don't know.
He needs a full compliment out there to really do well. I mean, it seems like. That's when he did his best, when they were pretty loaded up on offense.
Yeah. It would help if we had a true number one receiver.
In his defense, like, you see Rodgers struggling without great receivers, but like Goff can never rise above. It seems like it has to be going perfectly all around him, which is what people have always said. Oh, it'd just be nice if we didn't have to spend a number one pick on a quarterback or a number five or whatever.
Maybe we don't have to. Maybe we pick him up in one in free agency.
That's true. Lamar Jackson, if you listen to this pod,
$60 million.
We want to bring you on.
A lot of these teams, you know, backload the contract, so the Lions could, you know, invest in defense and such like that, still with the salary cap.
For me, the jury's still out. We'll see how the rest of the season goes, but I would much rather put all our resources towards building this team around Goff than having to replace him. But he's got to show a lot more down the stretch here.
What are you still waiting to see out of him? What are you like? What are you waiting to?
Here. I mean, everyone's
season
flux. We got like a lot though. Like we have what 8-9 games still to go. This season's far from over. There's plenty of time. He played great for a stretch. He struggled for a stretch. I think he's going to turn it around as the team as a whole gets more confident.
And when he gets Jameson Williams back,
that'll help too. More weapons. Yeah, in week 17. Throwing a little tiny white guys is not ideal. Though Tom Brady usually does okay with it, but
Tom Kennedy hater, huh?
No, not hating by any means, but when he's your number one guy outside of St. Brown, it's not exactly ideal.
What? Cooper Kupp's white?
I said, but he's not tiny.
But, yeah. So go on 14 of 26, 137 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. What do we think of Dan Campbell's decision making going for on a fourth down there near the end of the game? Obviously, the Lions didn't get it. Give the ball to the Packers near the 40-yard line. I don't know if I was a fan
of
that.
I was okay with it. I mean, if the punt was a touchback, they'd have picked up 15 or 20 yards. It wasn't that much. I didn't see a problem
with it. I would have liked the punt. I think Fox could have hit the corner with it. But
and the way our defense was playing, too.
I wasn't upset with it either myself because I think the defense did okay.
Well, at least you didn't go for a long field goal.
Yeah. What'd you guys think? I heard people on the radio saying everybody in Detroit thought when Rodgers had the ball, they were going to run down and score a touchdown. I didn't think that the way this defense was playing in this
history
game,
would suggest yes.
Yeah. We've history, seen it too many times. Yeah.
I agree, but though, Bob.
I didn't feel it this game. You guys did, apparently, but maybe I'm alone in that. But
I didn't. I would agree with you. I felt confident. I felt this whole game, I felt more confident than I have in a while about this team for some reason. Just feelings. I can't put reason to it, but I'm with you, Bob. But I'm just saying history would suggest otherwise, but I felt good about it.
It's tough when they make it hard like that. I mean, our offense, all they do is get a first down and run the clock out. That would have been a nice, simple, gentle ending. No, they have to make it exciting and give the ball back to the Packers.
They never take the easy route. That's a little frustrating. Nope.
One thing I love, though, is we beat Aaron Rodgers when he had the game in his hands at the end, when he has so many times in the past. That's been the result. But this time, we actually stopped Aaron Rodgers at the end of the game with the game in his hands. To me, that's so satisfying because I can't stand that guy.
Well, he's killed us over the years. So, it's very satisfying to see that for sure.
One kind of play I wonder why the Lions don't ever do is the quarterback sneak. Is it because Goff can't hold onto the ball? Because they used to do it in the past, but with Goff, they don't seem to do it at all. And I hate that when you need 1 yard,
right?
You have our running back 5 yards, you have to wait for him to get up to the line. Can't you just poke it over the line?
Yeah, I would like that. It's one of the best plays in the book. I mean, for getting really short yardage.
I do have a little problem with Ben Johnson's calls on those third and shorts. He does long setting up run plays, where instead of hitting quick, guys are pulling and guys are, I don't know. He does all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah. For all his brilliance.
The quarterback sneak is part of that too, but it's got to be quick.
I did like one call that he made that has burned the Lions in the past. That one where Zylstra just blocked and went down the line, and then he ended up all alone in the corner.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen that? For other teams doing it, and we actually did that already. Yes. It was awesome.
Definitely.
On that note, I didn't see it, but I read about that. I'm on Rodgers saying he spiked the ball, Zylstra did, and then Amon Ra went and got the ball for him. He hustled to get the ball so before anyone else got it and brought it back to Zylstra.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Touch. Yeah, he's thinking like that.
Didn't Ragnow spike it for him? Didn't he hand it to Ragnow, I thought?
I don't remember.
He did. He handed the ball to Ragnow to spike it. Which I thought was pretty humble for your first touchdown in the NFL. Give it to another guy to spike? Damn.
Probably so excited.
Right? Oh, yeah. Who cares at that point? You got the score, baby.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. It was great seeing a victory for a chain. It was nice.
You guys see the Jerry Jacobs where he, at halftime, he's going in, he says to Aaron Rodgers, why you keep coming at me, man?
Yeah.
He's like, you're doing fine, man.
That was great. That was awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah, it could be a fun team. I mean, again, this is a super young team. So always, I mean, this is the youngest starting defense in the NFL.
Yeah, that's why you have to preach patience with me. I know it's hard. It's hard to be patient.
But we have some budding stars. I mean, Kirby Joseph has to be the most exciting one for me right now, just because I think the least was expected of him, even than Rodrigo, despite their orders in the draft, just the way Rodrigo's built his reputation so fast. But Kirby's coming on an elite star. That's going to make such a big difference for our whole defense. Remember, weren't they saying this defense was supposed to be driven by our safeties, and then our number one guy goes down week one?
Right.
So, I mean, I think he's filling a really important role right now.
Well, D-line then safety, I would say.
Yeah,
no,
D-line is
the four-man rush.
I'm talking about the way that
which still needs a lot of work. Aaron Rodgers had a lot of time to throw in this game still, I thought.
Wait, you thought our D-line was a strength coming into the season? You thought that was going to be dominant, Z? Is that what you're saying?
No.
You said D-line?
I didn't say that. I said it's in...
Oh.
He said the defense starts with the safety. I said, I think it starts with the D-line.
I'm not talking about some grand concept, Z. I'm talking about the way they designed their defense specifically, that the safeties were like the ones who were going to direct it. Like Tracy Walker was going to be like the QB of the defense, right, more than like a linebacker-driven defense where the linebacker, like Tracy Walker was going to be the...
I think Holmes and Campbell even mentioned that early in the season, like during camp.
Yeah, I didn't make this up.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
I hate to say it, but I agree with Red Dog.
What?
What? Hold on. Guys, a pig just flew by my window. Oh, my. Is anyone's toes getting cold?
Oh, boy.
I would agree with that. I thought you were saying something else. I thought you were saying...
No. I agree. Up front. It starts in the trenches. But, yeah.
Well, the Lions are going to have a hell of a challenge next week going against a quarterback that just broke the all-time rushing record for yards in a game for a quarterback in Justin Fields, which has been our biggest bugaboo since Aaron Glenn's been here. And well, even before Aaron Glenn, stopping a running quarterback. But we'll get all that later this week. But
we will. Hey, what'd you guys think of the whole players meeting? You know, they did a players only meeting after Pleasant got sacked. And
oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
it's a mixed bag.
They cleared the air. Apparently, they all like got to say their feelings, and then they felt a lot tighter after the meeting, and it seemed to show up on the field. So
sometimes I feel like I'm concerned that they even need to happen, but it does seem beneficial. So to me, and this is in any sport when there's a players only meeting.
Well, yeah, you don't do them necessarily when things are going well.
Some other teams we follow used to have them every week, but with the Lions, it seemed to work well. So I'm in support.
And maybe, you know, I'm curious who stepped up into leadership roles in that meeting, like where Hutch is at, where, you know, who's the real leaders on this team were, because they've been encouraged to take ownership of this team since, you know, as far as we know, day one. So I'm very curious who the leaders really were.
It's obvious for Douglas Brocker.
Yeah, it's fair. Sorry, UJ. Dumb question.
Keep them.
Did they run practice again, the players? They...
I don't think so.
Yeah, but encouraging win. I mean, the Lions now moved to the fifth pick in the draft. So they went from 1 to 5.
Wow.
And actually, the Rams lost, and they went from 13 to 12th pick overall now in the draft.
Keep losing, Rams.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
kid, baby. Jay.
Not sorry. And if, I mean, they look terrible, they could keep falling into the top 10, maybe. That'd be fantastic.
They're still so hungover. Like it looks like they're still, like, actually drinking.
Well, yeah, their best player wanted to retire. The coach wanted to retire, and they came back. Now they're probably questioning them.
I had a theory, you guys. Okay. Check this out now. Like,
ooh,
we're at that.
You never have
a
theory.
Yeah. We're at that point right now where we're, you know, we got our young talent and stuff like that. It's slowly starting to gel. Maybe not real fast yet, but by like next year, end of next year, you're going to see this is a team in the red. So that's when those key free agents want to go to that winning team, you know, get their Super Bowl. By that time, the Rams will be so bad. Aaron Donald's going to want out, baby. And he'll still have a couple of good years left. And we get Aaron Donald as a free agent. Put that defense over the top.
Oh, no way.
Woo!
Correct historic mistake.
Wow.
I thought you were going the Matthew Stafford route there. I didn't expect you to say Aaron Donald.
No, I like that better.
Done with Stafford. Done with him.
I think
he's all in on Goff. He's all in on Goff.
I'm all in on anything. I don't know. I forgot about
Stafford. Bob and Connor, you went to the Ohio State Northwestern game this weekend. How'd Stroud look?
I
know it was 40-mile-per-hour winds, so a little rough day to judge a quarterback.
So it's the rain was literally blowing sideways. It was very miserable. Stroud did not look great.
He had his biggest rushing day of his career, though.
He did. But
they held him in check for a while in that game. And then
I will say, I like how he looked when the pocket broke down. Like, he was heads up enough to like see something downfield, or if there wasn't anything downfield, like he knew to throw it away. But he did get better in the second half when it wasn't a hurricane, but I don't know. He didn't like strike me instantly as a number one pick, but like you said in their chat, when there's 45 mile an hour winds, quarterbacks are not often going to put up the best game of their lives.
That's the best time to assess them, when things are at their most adverse.
I don't.
Northwestern showed grit though, and they were winning the game, so we were happy about that for a while, because I don't like Ohio State.
That's true. There's a couple of Michigan fans,
and I like Northwestern. My daughter goes there, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where all that that ends up. But
yeah,
just curious.
Who do you guys like?
He has a 4.640 speed. I mean, so
I know we're not talking draft. He seems to be the number one guy everyone's talking about. But I'm kind of a Bryce Young guy myself. But I think
Bryce Young's size concerns me.
Yeah, that's the only thing that concerns me about Bryce Young.
Stroud's more prototypical, right?
Yeah,
the more prototypical pocket passer. Bryce is more of the scrambling type.
And just curious. We have a long time to talk about that.
But he's elusive in the pocket, and that's the main thing.
And he's 4.6. That ain't slow. That's right around what I think Aaron Rodgers ran. That's effective running speed for a quarterback. You don't need him to be like, what's his face over with the Ravens to be a good
Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields.
Well, that's what Justin Fields. That's what we're saying. He's not that kind of quarterback.
Fields is like 4.4, right?
Yeah, Fields.
I'd have to go look that one up.
Yeah, and like Hurts is, but he's a better passer, I think. Hurts is probably the best package, I think, of that group of young guys right now. But he's also got the best argument, probably.
The Eagles have a really good shot at going undefeated this year. And they'll be fascinating to watch because they're going to be favored in every game, except maybe the Cowboys when they play Dallas. But they have an extremely favorable schedule to pull it off.
Yeah, and they're really good.
But anyways, so the Vikings win again. They are really ahead in the division. It's going to be almost impossible to catch up to them. Not impossible, but extremely hard. They're 7-1. We're 2-6.
4-4-40 for
Chicago. Green Bay also 3-6. So they are 5 games ahead with half the season to go. So it's going to be really hard to catch up to them. They pretty much have it locked up already, which is kind of insane. And I don't think they're that good.
They get the least hype of any of the really good teams. I mean, they're 7-1 and nobody's really talking about
Well, they'll probably be a 2 seed and lose to the 7 seed, like the 49ers or something like that in week one.
I could easily see that.
Yeah. But that might even be underdogs as a 2 seed. So
I don't know. I hope they win that playoff game, though.
We just got to hope for that. I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. No, we.
The conditional pick, you mean, right? For the Hawkinson.
Yeah.
Trade?
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't root for him to win for a conditional pick. I'm sorry. Not the Vikings.
All right. Well, we can wrap it up here. But, man, it was great to talk about a victory this week. Yeah. Let's hope we can do it again next week after the Lions visit Chicago.
Yep. I'll be at that game if any fans are there. But beautiful. I haven't bought my tickets yet. So.
Excellent. But, and – you know, the Bears very vulnerable. Obviously, trading away a couple key defensive pieces. Their defense is not what it was even a couple weeks ago. Trading away Robert Quinn. We'll get into all that and Roquan Smith. But anyways, we want to thank everybody for listening. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about the Lions' crazy 15-9 victory over the Packers. Let us know your thoughts about, you know, where you think the Lions sit at now. We like to hear anything, really. Just your thoughts in general. Even if it's, you know, just use it as a, I don't know, just if you need a journal or something like that. Write on our, you know, send us a comment just about your life's thoughts.
Yeah, we're all here. Yeah. No judgment here.
Yeah. SideLionReport.com. Thank you for them for hosting the podcast. Put it on their website. Go check out articles on there by Brad Berryman and their team. Thank you to our producer as well, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
All right. Not our best, not our worst.
Working at it.
But thank you to our producer, Kid J, for doing an awesome job each and every week for him as well. Oh, and he just let us know Justin Fields' 40 time was 4.44. Nice and easy to remember. 3.4s. And am I forgetting anything else? 40s? Of course, thank you, our Lady Lions, for doing their segment throughout the week. And but you hear that at the end of the week. And I think that's all. And just thank you to the listeners. Oh, Spotify, Apple, your podcast download. Please subscribe and please leave a review. Of course.
Yeah.
And if we win the Powerball, we might not be back next week. We'll see.
That's true.
No, we'll be back just in a fancier studio.
Money, that's for sure.
Are we building a studio if we win the Powerball?
Or we just buy a plane and we fly around you know, America and then just land it back.
I don't know about you, Bob, but if we win that, I think we'll just, I'm going to be out in this more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on the Lions sideline if we win the.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go.
Go. Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.